here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, hey, everyone. What is up wherever you are in the world? I hope you're just having an amazing day. And my guest today is someone I'm just so excited to interview. She is the CEO of Formula Botanica, which is an online cosmetic company, which is organic, which I love, and beauty school. And it has trained over 10,000 organic cosmetic formulators and indie beauty entrepreneurs in 160 countries. I mean, she just doesn't stop. She last year was voted the most influential person in natural beauty. And as I've been reading interviews about her and watching YouTube interviews, one of the things that really strikes me about this woman is she goes through her day with tremendous grace and grit. So I am so excited for everyone to meet Lorraine Dahlmeier. Lorraine, thank you so much for being here.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much for having me. I feel very privileged to be here, especially after that amazing introduction.
Well, thank you. Okay, let's jump in. What is Formula Botanica? I was reading about it and I got so excited, and I know this works. So tell the audience all about it.
So Formula Botanica is an online organic cosmetic formulation school. We train people how to make cosmetics, and we start with complete beginners. We teach them how to go and find the right ingredients, botanical ingredients, and then we teach them how to design their own formulations. So they're not following recipes. They create their own formulations from scratch. We currently teach organic skincare and hair care. I have plans to include makeup in there in the future as well. And then we teach them how to turn those formulations, those products, into a business. Not everyone wants to start a business, but most of them do at the moment. And so we now have 12,500 students in, actually it's 175 countries now, which is insane. So green beauty is spreading across the globe, and we're basically teaching everyone and anyone how to formulate their own beauty products. And then if they want, how to turn it into a business and become an entrepreneur, which is super exciting.
Which is tremendous, because COVID has really shifted the landscape. I had my first online business, Lorraine, in 1995. So I'm turning 50 next year. And so I'm an OG online businesswoman. And I think there's a lot of people, men and women all over the globe, who are looking for an online business because of this change. I want to ask you, what would you say would be the thing that would startle most of us about our skin and hair care regime if it is not organic?
If it is not organic, that's an interesting question. I think the thing that most people would be surprised about is if you go into the stores or the supermarkets and you see all these products there on the shelf, they're generally pretty much identical. And I know that they all tell you that they have something unique to offer, and you know, they have special this and special that. But if you turn over the bottles and you look at the ingredients list, they are pretty much identical. I do this with hand soaps a lot. Like, I go in, I think, I want a new liquid hand soap. Let's choose something different. And then I'm stood there going, no, it's the same. No, it's the same. But they all look different in terms of branding and marketing, but they're all the same product pretty much.
Wow. I once heard, and I know your background, you're a botanist. So I heard that a product will go from our skin to our liver in a matter of moments. Is that true?
Yes and no. I mean, it really depends on the environment. It depends on your skin health. It depends on the ingredients. It depends on the delivery mechanism. I will say there is a huge amount of misinformation on the internet. And one thing that a lot of people talk about is that, you know, it can take 60% of what you put on your skin ends up in your bloodstream, but you can't put a figure on something so complex. Now, saying that, certain ingredients do penetrate into the body and others don't at all. It really depends entirely on what you're formulating with.
Wow. Well, I think it's this awareness. And I know that even one of my daughters, I have four daughters, I caught one of them whipping up her own, you know, hair masks from ingredients in the kitchen. And I know there's a, it's more than a trend. It's a conscious awareness, wouldn't you say?
I would, absolutely, because anyone can formulate. And this is the thing I get most fired up about. So 100 years ago, women didn't wear makeup, which is a strange thing to imagine. You know, people who wore makeup were viewed as being of loose morals. It wasn't entirely thought to be something that a reputable woman would do. And then Hollywood sort of arose and people started to see movie stars wearing makeup and it all took off. In the 60s, people only washed their hair once a week. You know, up until that point, it wasn't normal to be continuously washing and cleansing. And the beauty industry has very much told us you have to perform a certain way. You have to look and smell and feel a certain way. And a lot of that has arisen through marketing and not through science, but they've dressed it up along the lines of science. If you go into a department store pre-COVID, hopefully post-COVID soon, there's a lot of people wearing white lab coats because they want to give you the idea that it's all very clinical and scientific. And yet, if we go before all those periods, people used to make their own beauty products and we still can. And I feel like we've come full circle and we're returning to that. And it's my mission to teach the entire world to formulate because there is nothing stopping us from cooking our own food and making our own clothes and making our own beauty products. Anyone can do it. It's that simple and it's fun as well and empowering. So I think it's awesome that your daughters are learning that too.
Well, absolutely. I really have this question that, you know, I think about my nephew started his own online business and he's making, right now he's making accessories for pets. So as an example, and then I had a young beauty founder, Shadi, on here and she's doing a cosmetics line and she is 12 years old.
What?
Do you? Yeah, it's crazy. We have listeners in their 80s. We have listeners in the, you know, the show is very PG. Is there an ideal person to learn how to formulate, to create their own business? Or can, as you said, anyone can do it regardless of age, regardless?
Literally anyone. All you have to have is a desire to learn and to have fun with it. And that's the beautiful thing. You know, if you want to make a lip balm, let's take a lip balm as a really super simple example. You need an oil, you need a wax. You probably need a butter. It's not mandatory. And you melt the three together and you create something beautiful. And once you start to do that and you start to realize the different types of butter that you can get from all sorts of exotic locations and the different amazing oils that come in all sorts of colors that haven't been refined and stripped of all their goodness, which is the kind you get in the supermarkets, and the different cool waxes that are out there, all of a sudden you're just lost and that's it. You know, you're off and you never look back. And it is a little bit like cooking and you pour your love and heart and soul into it. And that's the one thing that indie brands do very well because they have that secret ingredient, that love and that passion. So yeah, I think anyone can do this. All you have to have is a desire to learn and yeah, nothing will stop you.
I know people listening are going to be asking and, you know, and messaging me on Instagram and saying, are you starting a new hobby? Maybe. I'm feeling very inspired, Lauren. You run what many would consider to be an empire when you're talking about 175 countries and thousands upon thousands of students and ambassadors. What has been one of the toughest lessons you had to learn to get to this place in your career?
Oh my goodness. How long have we got? I think the biggest challenge for me was because the business grew so quickly that really for 7 years I've been sort of scrabbling to keep up because everyone wanted to learn how to formulate and everyone wants to come and take a course with us. So the biggest challenge, obviously, which I'm sure every business owner listening to this will recognize, is finding people to come and do that with me. And I had never run my own business before this. You know, I dabbled in some things here and there, but I'd never run anything of this size before. I'd had very well-paying jobs. I'd had lots of responsibility. But it's when your neck is on the line and you finally have to start hiring people that you realize the biggest challenge is finding the people who will stick with you and go through thick and thin with you and who are prepared to really to fight to make the business sustainable and viable with you. So that's been the biggest challenge, I'd say. And I've got an awesome team now. You know, I've got 40 people working in the team. We're in 12 different countries. We're all remote. Everyone works from home. And I've got some absolute superstars in there. You know, I love them to bits. But getting to that stage has been a real learning curve. And yeah, you gotta kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince, basically.
There's there's so many things I could say about that comment right now. Lorraine and I will be talking about dating advice for the remainder of the show. No, the putting together that right team. And when Dave Asprey was here, the founder of Bulletproof, he said, the people that take us to one level aren't always the people that take us to the next level.
Oh, yes, that is absolutely right. I've been saying that for the last year, actually. I'm so pleased to hear someone else say that. It's true because, you know, people often they take a job and they get very comfortable in that job. And then you go, right, well, here's level two. We're moving up to level two now. And they're like, well, hang on a minute. I'm very comfortable here at level one. I don't want to go up to level two. And you have to drag them with you. And some people are totally up for the challenge. And I've got some people in the team who've been with me for years and they love it. You know, they're like, right, let's grow. Bring it on. What are we going to do next? But not everyone has been like that over the years. And I've had people say to me, you know, the company that I joined, it's so different to the company that it is now. And I'm not sure I quite like it. And at that point, you know, we part as friends and that's fine. And they can go and find something else. But yeah, you're right. Not everyone is set. Not everyone is ready for that leveling up that you go through when you're going through massive growth.
Yeah. And you are, from what I've observed, you are that woman who will, you know, we would use a word, you know, push. She will push herself because it's putting the company at the forefront and doing whatever it takes. Andrea Lake was here and she has founded 14 successful online businesses. And she founded the first one in 97. So she is the OG online t-shirt girl. And Andrea said, I said, how do you find the right people? She said, I only expect my team to keep up at a pace of 85 to 90% of what I do. And that changed my life, Lorraine, because I get up at 4 a.m. and I go. And I expect my team to keep up with that pace. And I you strike me as a woman who's very similar.
Yes, I feel that way as well. And I feel, for me, it very much stemmed from the corporate environment I worked in. So I worked as an environmental consultant for 12 years all over the world. You know, I was based in the Russian Far East. I've lived in the States, in Australia, you know, I've been all over. And it was a very male environment. And I often came up against glass ceilings and was often told, you know, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, you're too scary, you're too intimidating, you're too... spoken. Mm-hmm. And it got to the stage that I went on maternity leave with my second son and I came back. And the whole time I was on maternity leave, I kept saying to my employers, you better have something for me to come back to. Because here in the UK, you take a year. And mm-hmm. I very much took the full year to be with my babies. And I came back and they had nothing for me to do. They ghosted me. They put me in the attic at work and I sat there every day going down, going, give me something to do. You know, I'm highly skilled. I know what I'm doing. I'm ready to go. I'm back from maternity leave. Give me work. And they were like, yeah, we'd like to, but we haven't got anything. And it got to the stage that I thought, you know what? I need, if I want to show the world that I can achieve the things that I know I can achieve, I have to create those opportunities for myself. Mm. And I thought, right, that's it. I am now going to take Formula Botanica and really push it and grow it and take it to the levels I want to take it to. And I did. So I very much feel that for me, the thing that drives me is proving myself and showing all those people who for years told me that I was too young, too inexperienced, too scary, that they were wrong.
And I have to wonder, we do have many men listening. My son listens, my husband listens. I've been told I'm arrogant, I'm intimidating. And I have to wonder if I was a man, would I have been told those things, right? And I had Lori Harder here. She's formulating, she's doing an alcohol startup, which I'm quite excited about, I do have to say. and we were having this conversation about if I was a different gender, would those adjectives have been used? Mm. In navigating all of this, Lorraine, what is some of the best advice you've ever received and who gave it to you?
I think the best advice I've received so far is always try and hire people who are better at things than you. Mm. And I love that. And we go into every recruitment period. I mean, we're currently recruiting again, sort of going, right, this is the stage right now. Lorraine's doing this job. We've got to take it off her. We've got to get someone who's better. And I love that. You know, I want people to come in and tell me how to do stuff, because then I'm like, right, take this hat off me. It's yours now. You own it. You know, your responsibility. I'm just going to come and check in and make sure you're hitting the milestones and, you know, achieving the brand and all of that. So that was a great piece of advice that I've absolutely lived by. And the other thing is very much make yourself visible. You know, in the beginning, I didn't really want to be that visible as a founder. I wanted to sort of be in the back of the company and just sort of play with the systems. And someone said to me, no, you have to be out front and you have to be leading and everyone has to be able to see you. Even to the point that I had a photo on my website where I had sunglasses on so people couldn't see my eyes.
And wow. Someone said
to me, we need to be able to see your eyes because, you know, that's how we connect with you. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. And I started to do webinars. I started to do videos. I started to work with camera crews. I started to speak on stages around the world. And by that point, I was just flying. And the moment I made myself visible, yeah, the company just soared. So those two pieces of advice have been real game changers for me.
Those are brilliant. And I always feel so fortunate that as a founder, when I get to interview founders, because I often will go back and say, what can I learn from this person? How do you motivate yourself when you don't feel like it? Because when we're leading from the front, that is a whole other thing. There's no sick day, mental health day. We must show up. So how do you do it when you don't feel like it?
I want to make this a success. Very much from what I was saying earlier, I want to prove myself. And I don't think I will ever leave that. Even if Formula Botanica reaches like a 9-figure online education institution, which we're not at the moment, but imagine we get there, I will still be pushing myself because I just constantly want to show the world this is what I am capable of. And I love also sort of showing myself what I'm capable of. And you're right. You know, I've had spent many days when I was unwell. You know, I had the flu last year. I spent that whole week in bed with my laptop. I don't stop because you can't. It's in you. It's almost like it's part of you when you have your own business. And it's really hard to let that go and let someone else just sort of run with it without you watching. So I just, yeah, for me, it's all about proving myself. And that's something that's very specific to me. And it's what drives me. And it's what gets me out of bed in the morning. But it works tremendously well, I will say.
Well, and there are seasons of business too, because there's that inception period where there's no revenue yet and it's a concept. And then we start to get some critical mass and there's some revenue, but it's not profitable yet. And then it reaches this point where it goes into momentum. And that at that point, you're hiring so fast, you're training people. I mean, it's quite rigorous. You are a mom, you're a founder, you're managing this team of 40, but then you have all of these people all over the world. What does your day look like?
Tons of chaos. No day is the same. I mean, at the moment, it's 5 o'clock. My kids are getting ready for dinner. You know, I've had a very long day with lots and lots of meetings. But basically for me, at the moment, because I'm the CEO, I'm doing a lot of forward-facing work. So I do a lot of daily podcasts. I have my own podcast as well on Green Beauty. I'm on summits all the time. I'm networking with people. I'm doing Clubhouse, things like that, where I'm forward-facing. But then I'm also very much having editorial meetings with the team because I still oversee the brand. So even today, I've met our membership site coordinator, our content coordinator, our chief growth officer, and we're talking about, you know, what's happening in terms of the content moving forward. How do we tie it all together? I also plug the gaps in the business because that's what the leader does, basically. Our social media person left us 2 weeks ago. I'm currently running all the social media platforms.
Of course.
I don't want to be, but I am. And, you know, if anyone hears this, we're hiring. But yeah, I'm doing that at the same time. And then I'm handing things over to the team. So no one day is the same. And then in between, because here in the UK, we're currently in lockdown, I'm running around the house and going to check on my children. My partner is homeschooling them. So I'm just, you know, checking in to see them, setting my son up for his guitar lesson, you know, helping with lunch, helping with dinner. It's, you know, you're just constantly juggling, really, aren't you?
So how do you unwind at the end of the day?
I hang out with my partner, I play guitar, I read, but I'm not sure I ever fully unwind, I'm going to be honest. Like last night, I thought, oh, I'll go to bed early, have a bath, you know, relax. So I got into bed and then I thought, I have this great idea for an Instagram story sequence. And then my phone comes out and I'm doing that and I'm relaxing whilst I'm doing it because I'm being creative. So there will always be a touch of the work in there because I find it very hard to let go. But I love those moments because it's just me, no meetings, no one asking me questions. I can just let the creativity flow. But yeah, a bit of everything really. And we have 4 acres of land here that we're rewilding. We're turning into a biodiversity wildlife haven. Wow. My partner's planted up this huge orchard with like 50 different heirloom trees. And it's amazing. We live in a fantastic community. So we're very, very fortunate where we are.
On the other side of COVID, I'll come and visit. When I was in university, I spent a year in the UK, or not a year, I spent a month in the UK, and we were driving around where I was a research assistant. So we were doing, I won't get into the research, it was very interesting though. It was involving some of the most early facial recognition algorithms. So I've been everywhere and had many pints in many pubs. That's all. I can't drink scotch. I've had scotch at the distillery closest to Balmoral. So that's a claim to fame. I've had many pints and I don't drink beer anymore. But anyway, I'll come and visit. If you're reading, I'm going to do some rapid fire because it's so fun. If you're reading fiction, what's your go-to? Super quick. Don't even think.
Really cheesy romance novels.
Like Bridget Jones? That like...
No, no, no. Like real cheesy rom-com type stuff.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. And your ideal girls' night, what does that look like?
Oh, get together with the girls, go for a dance, have drinks. I wish we could get back to that. I hope we'll be out of lockdown soon.
You and I both. And I had Steve Sims here and Rob Moore, and we played a little bit of British, you know, either or. So my either or for you is Mr. Bean or Blackadder.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awful. Okay. Blackadder.
Okay. Yes. We all said Blackadder. I'm Canadian. So yes, I'm a Commonwealther, but I live in America and they don't know what I'm talking about when I ask that question. But yes, we're all Blackadder. We, so far it's 100% Blackadder is the vote. So just in case, if you would like to tag Lorraine and I in an Instagram poll for Blackadder or Mr. Bean, you are more than welcome to, because we would enjoy that very, very much. Well, Lorraine, thank you so much for being here. And anyone listening, if you're looking to create an online business and you love the idea of the creativity, you love the idea of formulating, and I know some of you are already going to the website, check out Formula Botanica. It's so cool. Thanks, Lorraine, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun.
It has been. Thank you so much. I wish you every success. And with that, this has been another episode of the Seasons Live Project. And Lorraine and I would love a 5-star review because leaders ask for what they want. Go ahead, tag us on Instagram, tag us on whatever social, we're everywhere, Clubhouse, just do whatever. Just find us. Let us know what you're taking away from this episode. And we will see you next time.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.